What if the most important innovations in history came not from necessity, but from sheer delight? While we've been taught that survival drives progress, a closer look reveals something more playful at work. The programmable computer didn't emerge from military necessity. It evolved from music boxes and automated looms designed to entertain. The Industrial Revolution wasn't sparked by rational economic planning. It exploded from a shopping craze for colorful fabrics. Even probability theory, the mathematical foundation of modern finance and medicine, grew from gamblers trying to beat the odds at dice games. Time and again, humanity's pursuit of pleasure, spectacle, and amusement has accidentally built the future. What we dismiss as frivolous today often becomes tomorrow's infrastructure. The pattern is so consistent, it's almost embarrassing we haven't noticed. Play isn't a break from serious work, it's where serious breakthroughs begin. In 18th century Paris, Jacques de Vaucanson's mechanical shepherd played 12 songs on a real flute. The revolution wasn't the spectacle. It was the pinned cylinder encoding which notes to play and when, separating instructions from hardware. This concept had precedent. The Banu Musa brothers in 9th century Baghdad created programmable hydraulic organs with swappable cylinders. Same machine, different program. Vaucanson realized cylinders could create color patterns, not just sound. He designed looms controlled by pinned cylinders to revitalize French silk weaving. Joseph-Marie Jacquard perfected this using punch cards, enabling intricate patterns through coded instructions. When Charles Babbage saw a silk portrait of Jacquard woven using thousands of punch cards, he borrowed this programming concept for his calculating engine. Ada Lovelace observed the machine could theoretically compose music, bringing the technology full circle. Our digital age descends directly from instruments designed to make beautiful sounds. Late 17th century London transformed as shops became perfectly gilded theaters, featuring vibrant Indian cotton calico prints with color-fast dyes Europeans had never seen. The calico madams sparked moral panic. British wool producers rioted, Parliament passed protectionist laws, and conservatives fumed about corrupted values. The unexpected twist? This fashion obsession ignited the Industrial Revolution. Immense demand for cotton drove inventors like Richard Arkwright and Eli Whitney to create mechanical production tools. Consumer culture created industrialization, not the reverse. Fashion itself accelerated dramatically. Styles lasting 10 to 12 years in 1723 shortened to six-month cycles by the 1750s. By the 1770s, fashion magazines established annual rotations we still follow, democratizing society unexpectedly. Middle-class women could now pass for aristocrats. Then came the department store. French merchant Boucicault transformed his modest shop into a cathedral of commerce, introducing fixed prices and charge cards. Victor Gruen later adapted these concepts for America's first shopping mall in 1956. The tragic irony? Gruen was a socialist, envisioning dense, walkable urban centers. Developers took only the mall concept, surrounding it with parking lots and accidentally amplifying the suburban sprawl Gruen despised. Your bag of Doritos contains compressed human history: Mexican corn, East Asian soybeans, English cheddar, Italian Romano, South American tomatoes, global spices. These ingredients represent ancient trade networks built on humanity's craving for new flavors. Without spice trade, Venice's wealth vanishes, Amsterdam's golden age disappears, London's rise stalls. The pepper trade helped spark the Industrial Revolution. Queen Elizabeth I grasped this in 1602, writing that God scattered good things of his creation into the most remote places, so lands would need each other, creating commerce and friendship. Mediterranean climates fostered civilization through large-seeded grains, while tropical biodiversity produced plants with complex chemical defenses. Black pepper's piperin activates the same pain receptors as tarantula venom, literally sending a fire signal to your brain. These compounds evolved as warnings: don't eat this. humans transformed these warning signals into pleasure. We sought the burn, the tingle, the shock. To reach distant spices, we developed new navigation, better ships, joint stock companies, and global trade networks. Our exploratory appetite drives human development in magnificent and sometimes tragic ways. Leipzig, 1771. Young men enter a darkened room lined with death's head masks. Their hooded host begins ancient incantations. Suddenly, complete darkness. Then, a ghost materializes above a black-draped altar while electric shocks course through spectators' bodies, and the apparition speaks in a hoarse and terrible tone. Johann Georg Schropfer had transformed his coffeehouse billiards room into Europe's most talked-about terror theater, using magic lanterns to project ghostly images onto smokescreens while delivering electric shocks. Paul Philidor perfected the technique, naming his show The Phantasmagoria and using rear projection to create illusions so convincing that audiences fled in terror. The Phantasmagoria became a philosophical metaphor. Hegel referenced it in Phenomenology of Spirit. Schopenhauer described human perception itself as a cerebral phantasmagoria. Marx used the term in Das Kapital to describe commodity fetishism, capitalism wrapping objects in ghostly illusions that obscure economic oppression. Scottish scientist David Brewster documented how these spectacles worked while recognizing their profound implications. The eye, he noted, is the most fertile source of mental illusions. Our visual system processes about 85% of incoming information, yet remains remarkably vulnerable because our brains rely on shortcuts that fill in missing details. Robert Barker's Panorama revolutionized visual experience with enormous 1,479 square foot vistas. By the early 1800s, London's West End exploded with exotic illusions, the Occhilothoroma, Phantascopia, Spectrographia. Almost all vanished by 1900, extinguished by cinema. Once actual people could be projected onto screens, mechanical illusions lost their appeal, a technology succeeding precisely because our eyes fail to perceive reality accurately. In the 13th century, Dominican friar Jacobus de Sassolis used chess to reimagine social organization. Centuries later, Alan Turing made the game central to understanding machine intelligence. Lizzie Maggi's 1904, The Landlord's Game, Monopoly's ancestor, critiqued capitalism through competitive and wealth-sharing modes. Charles Darrow later encountered it, made minimal changes, and sold it to Parker Brothers for millions, while Maggi's contribution was erased, a fitting irony. Probability theory emerged from gambling. Physician Gerolamo Cardano's 1564 Book of Games of Chance calculated dice odds, while Pascal and Fermat's correspondence established modern probability theory, enabling insurance, capital markets, and medical research. In 1961, MIT students created Space War, spaceships firing torpedoes. Despite primitive graphics, it proved hypnotic, pioneering real-time visual human-computer interaction through on-screen icons responding to physical movements, the paradigm we still use. From Babbage's chess engine to Deep Blue versus Kasparov, games have driven computational breakthroughs, providing clear success metrics for teaching artificial minds to play. Play's pleasure justifies itself, yet wonderlands drive innovation. Public museums emerged from curiosity cabinets, computers from mechanical toys, the Industrial Revolution from recreational automata. Stock markets evolved from gaming houses, probability theory from gambling, and the LGBT rights movement gained momentum through underground entertainment venues. Contemporary neuroscience explains this productivity. Arthur Samuel's 1950s checkers playing computers revealed that learning accelerates when experiences confound expectations. Our brains literally light up during unexpected events. This surprise instinct is regulated by dopamine circuits, not simply pleasure, but a novelty bonus that heightens mental faculties during new encounters, promoting learning and memory formation. All wonders share initial surprise, from ancient bone flutes mimicking bird calls to the first European taste of coffee. Our genetic appetite for surprise drives us toward undefined new experiences rather than predictable patterns. This explains play's innovative power. It leads us away from nature precisely because of our nature. We consistently underestimate novel things without immediate survival application, dismissing them as mere entertainment. Yet these toys repeatedly become the prelude to serious ideas, transforming society. Programmable music boxes led to punch card computing. Magic lantern shows preceded cinema and virtual reality. In our productivity-obsessed world, we've forgotten that humanity's greatest leaps came from pursuing delight. Your instinct to seek surprise and play, seemingly frivolous, has built everything worthwhile.